Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن شاء الله today we'll continue on to our talk on Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه. Last week we left off at the time when Abu Bakr was doing the da'wah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were visiting different tribes. Is it working? Okay. They were visiting different tribes because the society of Makkah was not responding to the call of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to the different tribes of the Arab at that time and ask them to become Muslim and support Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to implement the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while these things were happening, Muslims, especially the ones who were weak, they were going through different kinds of hardships and trials and tribulation. In the 11th year of Nabuwa, we see one of the things, the incident that happened, which is called, the year is called Am al-Huzn, or the year of grief, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lost two of his great supporters, that included Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and his uncle Abu Talib. That was a big setback for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After that, not too long after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken to Isra wal-Mi'raj. And I want to point this out because it is important to go to the next step, as I mentioned last week, that we will talk about the Hijrah today. It is important to understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this incident that happened, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the part of the night from Mecca to Al-Quds. From Al-Quds, or Masjid Al-Aqsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him to the heavens and him show him the ayat of the heavens. And then brought him back. At that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned the story of Isra al-Mi'raj, the kuffar of the Quraysh, they started ridiculing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They started making fun of him. And Abu Jahl was among the one who was leading this. And he actually asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first when he was passing by. He did not know of Isra al-Mi'raj at that time. When he found out, well, he asked what's going on, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered back to him about the what happened with the Isra al-Mi'raj. And he said, it is part of the night, really, you went and came back. Because at those days, it used to take about a month to go to Masjid al-Aqsa and come back, that much of a distance. And then he goes, are you going to say this in front of others as well? And Rasulullah said, yes. And he started gathering others. And the purpose was, so Rasulullah will repeat the story and he will make fun of them in front of them as well. So anyways, to cut that story short, that there were some of the Muslims actually at that time, they apostated because of this, because they could not take this as a test. And then when the Quraysh, people from Quraysh, they went to Abu Bakr And they told him that this is what your sahib, your companion, is saying now about Isra al-Mi'raj, that part of the night. He traveled all the way from here to Al-Aqsa and came back. And Abu Bakr's question was, only thing he asked was, did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this? And when they said yes, then he accept that this is what happened. So he made sure that these are not the words of just the Quraysh. Rather, he wanted to make sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So he said, as long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, he accepted. This is why he was given this title of a Siddiq also. And then, afterwards, the hardships that the Muslims were going through, that continued on, that increased to an extent that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to go to different tribes to look for the Nusra, or to get the support from them to implement the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was not getting a positive response from them. Some of them gave responses in a way that were conditional, and Rasulullah sallallahu rejected. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa used to take Abu Bakr with him because he was famous for his knowledge in the science of genealogy, which is to know how all those tribes were structured and how much of a strength each tribe had. And then it continued on to a point that the people from Medina, which is the Aus and Khazraj, and used to be called Yathrab at that time, they came and they are the one who gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah ﷺ. The first year they came, they were about 6. Next year they came, they had 12 people with them. And then following year, those 12, they gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah ﷺ, which is called Baytul Ula also. And then afterwards, there were about 71 men and 2 women came, and they gave the bay'ah to Rasulullah ﷺ about, and this one was about the war also, that they will defend Rasulullah ﷺ as well. And now the Sahaba, they started migrating from Mecca to Medina. And don't forget that there was a migration that happened prior to that, which was to the Habasha, and this is a different kind of migration. The one to the Habasha was more to protect themselves from the persecution. Now this one was, so the Muslims will go to Medina, and now Islam will be implemented. Now, when this was happening, all the Sahaba, they were going slowly and gradually, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also the permission so he can also migrate to Medina. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تجعل لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يَجْعَلْ لَكَ صَاحِبًا, meaning that don't be haste. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a companion. And talking about, from this, Abu Bakr Siddiq understood in his mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant that he will get the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for migration. And that's the foresight of Abu Bakr Siddiq that you see, that when he found this, the first thing he did afterwards was, he started preparing the rides for the migration. And he had 2 mounts, and he prepared and he started feeding them well. There are reports that talk about how much he was feeding and all that. For about 3-4 months, he was feeding those camels. And there's a multiple narrations about the migration which are reported. One of them is by Aisha radiallahu anha regarding the migration. It is mentioned in Bukhari. And the way he mentions it, she mentions Aisha radiallahu anha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to visit the house of Abu Bakr at least once a day, either in the beginning of the day or the end of the day. And one day, he came in the mid of the day. And right away, when he came in the mid of the day, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he realized that there is something important. This is why he is there at this time. And when we will, inshallah, we'll talk about the lessons learned, we'll talk about these specific things as we go. About each incident that was happening during the migration. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came at that time in the mid of the day, and his face was covered. And when he entered, he asked Abu Bakr that, it says, أَخْرَجْ مِنْ عِنْدَكَ, if there is anybody around you, ask them to leave. And his answer, Abu Bakr's answer was, it was actually Asma bint Abi Bakr and Aisha radiallahu anha, they were the one who were there, the daughters of Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr said, these are just my daughters, it's family, meaning they were, they are somebody who are trustworthy. Upon which, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Abu Bakr that, فَإِنِّي قَدْ أُذِنَ لِي فِي الْخُرُوجِ, that he has been given the permission for migration to leave. And it's important to understand that it is saying that he was given the permission, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do the migration here, to migrate to. And here, by the way, another story, the thing is, in this story, he, even though the people who were around there were trustworthy people, he did not mention to which direction the migration will be. Only thing mentioned was that he is given the permission to migrate, to leave. And then Abu Bakr's question was that if he will get the suhbah, he will get the companionship, and Rasulullah said yes. And right away Abu Bakr, as I mentioned previously, he offered the two rides that he prepared, the two mounts he prepared for the migration. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that he will do it, but he will take the ride, but if he takes the price for it. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered the price for that. And then Asma bint Abi Bakr and Aisha, both of them, they prepared the food for or the sufra, which is the things that are needed for the travel. They made for Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we talked about it in the first talk that when they were making the sack for the for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, Asma bint Abi Bakr, she took one of the nataqain, and she tore it into took one of them and tore it into two. So she made two out of them, and this is why she was called Dhatul Nataqain, that the one with the two girdles. Here, we have, when we look into the story of the migration, we have to pay attention to how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he took care of the whole migration from Makkah to Medina. It was not something that was done like spontaneously or something, that without any preparation. It was a very well-planned, well-prepared the travel that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with Abu Bakr Siddiq. So, if you look at the the distance or the map from Mecca to Medina, you see that Mecca is in the south and Medina is in the north. And when they start traveling, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instead of going towards north, actually they went south first a little bit. They went towards the direction of Ghar Thawr, or the cave of Thawr. And they went there and they stayed in that cave for 3 days and three nights. While they went there, Quraysh were looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually. And they put a bounty on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of 100 camels. And they said, whoever brings Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dead or alive, he will get this bounty. So there were a lot of people who were looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. Now, when he went to Ghar Thawr, as I said, it's kind of to make sure that they have a safe route. So they went in the opposite direction and they did not travel. They stayed in Ghar Thawr, in the cave, for 3 days. So when they went there, they went with that the food that was given by Asma and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, and they stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But at the same time, there were some other planning was done besides that, that they had the food and they were staying there. Rather, they had his son, Abu Bakr's son, Abdullah bin Abi Bakr. He used to go during the daytime among the Quraysh, mingle with them, and figure out what they were planning for against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during the night time, he used to come to the Ghar Thawr, to the cave. So they stayed in, they went to Ghar Thawr, and Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, he used to go to the cave during the night time in a way that nobody sees him when he goes there. And he used to spend the night with them during the night time, and used to leave during the dark back to Mecca. And in a way that they would not know that Abdullah was there, and he went to visit Abu Bakr and Rasulullah ﷺ and came back. And every day he used to go and report back to Rasulullah ﷺ and Abu Bakr how the Quraysh were reacting and what they are thinking about. And while Abu Bakr used to go during the night time, there was another thing that another freed slave of Abu Bakr Siddiq that we talked about in previous talk last week, Amr bin Fuhira. He used to take the sheep and the goats of Abu Bakr behind Abdullah bin Abi Bakr. So all the footsteps were removed. They get mixed up with the footsteps of the cattle. And when he's coming back, he used to come back. And not only that, he used to go and remove the footsteps, but also on top of it, he used to give the milk to Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the cattle. Then 3 days happened like this. Even the Quraysh, at one time when they were looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they got to the point where they got to the cave, and they were very close to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam Abu Bakr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُوَ, that nobody knows the soldiers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except Him. And in this case, the soldier of Allah was a spider actually. It created a web outside the cave, and when the people, they looked at it, they thought if the spider web is there, there is no way that there will be somebody inside. And they did not even look at it. While Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he was inside, he is telling to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, if they just, as he said, that if any one of them, if they just look at their own feet, they will see us. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response to him was, مَا ذَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكَرْ بِإِثْنَيْ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. What do you think, O Abu Bakr, of those two, whom the third one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're talking about. Look, he is preparing everything for the migration. At the same time, the trust in Allah is always there. It's not that you are either just not doing anything, just trusting in Allah and doing nothing, or you're doing all the materialistic means using but not trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, whenever we see the actions of Rasulullah, you find that he always has the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is taking all the measures to achieve any action that he was undertaking. And migration was no different than that. Okay? So here Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling him that, what do you think of those two, whom the third one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is a very high ranks of Abu Bakr that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about, that the among the Prophet and Abu Bakr, the third is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So, and then we see that after 3 days, when everything cooled down, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they hired a guide as well. And the guide was one of the polytheists or from the mushrikeen. But he was a person who was trusted, number one, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, they paid him for the guide. And the guide was very expert in his work, what he was doing. But he was a trustworthy person, even though he was a polytheist. Okay? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, they took him as a guide to take him to Medina. While they were taking this route, as I mentioned, one thing they did was, so this guide started the traveling from Ghar al-Thawr, from the cave. And Amr bin Fuhira, he's the one who brought the camels over there for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, and Abdullah ibn Arqid, the guide that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And they left from there. Now, there was a route that was actually goes from Mecca to Medina that people normally used to take. But this guide, for the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, he took a different route. And this route, if you look at the map, and I happen to have a map here, I can show you later. But this map shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling, actually, they were traveling along the coast. And that was a longer path, and it was a more difficult path, and people used to not take it. So the purpose was so this way that Quraysh, or the people who are after Rasulullah, they will not be able to find him. While they were going towards Medina, one of the people from the Quraysh who was really after the bounty, and he was looking around everywhere, Suraqah bin Malik, and he is the only one who was able to reach to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. And when he was trying to get to closer, and he used to find that his the feet of his horse were going into the sand, and he tried a couple of times, and then he gave up. He realized that it is something that he cannot control. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually offered him, and he was going back, and he offered him, if he keeps his mouth, he does not speak in front of the Quraysh, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time, where we think that he is trying, he has been forced out of Mecca to Medina, that it feels like the Muslims are going through many different kinds of hardships, but at this time even, he is offering him the bracelet of Kisra. Okay? Bracelet of Kisra. So we have to remember that in our mind, what does it mean by the bracelet of Kisra actually? It has a huge meaning, because Kisra was the king of the Persian Empire at that time. There were two superpowers in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Romans and the Persians. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam offered him the bracelet of the Kisra, meaning that the Muslims will take over the Persian Empire of that time. So the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was way forward. Even though that did not happen in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we will find, and when we, inshallah, when we cover the story of, or the life of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu, we'll see that when the Muslims, they defeated the Persians, and when they got the bracelet of the Kisra, they were looking for Suraqah bin Malik. Because they remember the promise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made to Suraqah bin Malik. Of course, he became a Muslim at the time of the Fath Mecca, when the Mecca was conquered. So Suraqah bin Malik radiallahu an, may Allah be pleased with him. And he was given that bracelet later on. Anyways, and then Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he continued on, and they made it to Medina. And while they were going towards Medina, there was a couple of other incidents happened, but because of time's sake, I will, inshallah, try to keep it short. When they were getting to Medina, the people of Medina were already, they were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they used to come, they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was on his way, and they used to come on a daily basis during the daytime at the borders of the Medina, waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when it used to get hot, they used to go back to in the mid of the day. So one of the days when they already returned back, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, they made it. And one of the people from the Yahud, from the Jews, he saw there were two people dressed in white, and they were heading towards Medina. So he started screaming that the ones you were waiting for, they are here. And they went to, so they came back, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, they were under the shade of a tree. And when they came there, most of them actually, they did not know who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, because they never met him yet. And when they came, Abu Bakr, because of his stature, the way he was, even though he was a couple of years younger than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he used to look older. And people thought that it was Abu Bakr was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were going to meet him. And then they realized that the Prophet was the other person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But just to want to make sure that we take this point also, because there is something important here as well. That when I will talk about the lessons, we'll go one by one about these things. Okay, now, there are a few things that we have to remember. Number one, about the planning that way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did for Hijrah. The Hijrah was not done haphazardly. It was very well planned. Every step was thought of. Okay, we unfortunately, many of us, whenever we are involved in activities, the one we are doing for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of Islam, we tend to start thinking of, oh, we are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's leave it on Allah and Allah will take care of it and we will do it. And we think of it as if this is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a matter of fact, it is counter the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we find is, he was always planning whatever actions he was doing within the guidance of the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to do a planning for everything. And very same thing we see in migration as well. It started off with what? When Rasulullah, they were planning to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah is about to migrate, he put Ali radiallahu anhu in his bed to sleep. And there were a couple of reasons for that. One was, so they would think that Rasulullah is sleeping there, because they could not see. And second, he assigned the job, even though he is leaving Mecca to Medina, and the people in Mecca who were making the life of the Muslim miserable, he still want to take care of the amanah, any kind of amanah he had, that belonged to anybody else. He made sure that Ali radiallahu anhu, he returns back all those things that belong to anybody. Then we see that how Asma bint Abi Bakr and Aisha, they made the food and everything that is needed for the travel. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he already had the rides prepared for the migration. And then the way the travel was done and the way the jobs were assigned. So Aisha and Asma had this job. Rasulullah Abu Bakr was a companion with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr, his job was to bring the news from Quraysh or the Mecca to Rasulullah and Abu Bakr in the Ghar Thawr. And Amr bin Fuhaira's job was to make sure that all the footprints have been removed when Abdullah was going towards the cave and coming back, and also provide the milk to them. And there was, even though the guide was a polytheist, but they took the best guide that was needed for the job and made sure, again, in general, we are not supposed to take this kind of a help, but with certain conditions is allowed. For example, it is not for the whole ummah or something. This was the issue of certain people, individuals. That's one thing. And second thing was, there was no doubt against the Muslims by taking the help from them, because the guy was paid for the work that he was doing. Okay, so there are multiple conditions for taking these kind of help that have to be thought of. And when they were traveling, they took the route which was different than the people would have thought of. Okay, so it was a well thought plan, and there were many different people who were involved in that plan to migrate from Mecca to Medina. Okay, and in this story, there is, as we are talking about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr, he is the Sahabi who was all the way in this migration. He was the only person from the Sahaba who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the one who accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second thing was, he is the one who was very concerned about the safety of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during this migration. As one of the hadith talks about, that when Abu Bakr was traveling with him, sometime during the travel, he used to go in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometime he would go in the back. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the anxiousness of Abu Bakr, and he asked that, why are you doing it? What's going on? And Abu Bakr said that when he feels like that Rasulullah or the Sahaba or Abu Bakr, they can be attacked from the front, he would go in the front. When he felt like the attack may come from the back, he moved to the back. So his concern about Rasulullah's safety was utmost at that time. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about Abu Bakr in the Quran, when he is mentioned as the sahib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is including Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with him when he said, in Allah ma'ana, that Allah, indeed Allah is with us. This is a blessing of Abu Bakr. And there are many Sahaba who used to, when they talk about Abu Bakr, as Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to say about Abu Bakr that the one day of Abu Bakr's life, and he was referring to the what he did in Ghar Thawr, that is more than whatever Umar's life worth of. And other the thing that we talked about when the comparison Ali radiallahu anhu, when he was doing with the believer of the Fir'aun, the believer in the Naqam of the Fir'aun and his family, and the life of Abu Bakr. And he was saying that the 1 hour of Abu Bakr worth more than whatever the believer who was in the courtyard of Fir'aun and his family did. So this is these are the blessings of Abu Bakr. But all these things came to Abu Bakr because of his sincerity, his persistence towards Islam, and whatever he had, he spent in the path of Islam. There is two small things that I forgot to mention about this migration, and I want to make sure that that is covered before we stop today. One was because this is a role that we all have to understand when we are talking, doing anything for sake of Islam. When Rasulullah and Abu Bakr, when they start traveling from Mecca to Medina, Abu Jahl, he came to the house of Abu Bakr, looking for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he saw Asma bint Abi Bakr, the older sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. And he asked about the whereabouts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she refused to tell him. Abu Jahl was the head of the Quraysh there, a very tough guy supposedly. And he's asking a young girl like Asma bint Abi Bakr about the whereabouts of Rasulullah SAW, and she is denying. She is not telling him. And he hit her. He slapped her on the face of Asma bint Abi Bakr, and the report mentions that her earring falls off of her ear. So that shows the resolution, the toughness of even the youth at that time. How they were working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Abi Talib, when we talk about him, sleeping in the bed in a sense of for the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we look at his age at that time, he was about 20, 21 years old. Okay? So he was also a very young man. And the kind of things, whether it was Ali, whether it was Asma, whether it was Aisha, whether it was Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr, they were very young. But they played an integral role for this process of migration, which is considered as one of the biggest events of the history of mankind. This is why, if you remember, we talked about this. This is why the Muslims decided to have the Islamic calendar linked to this major incident of the history of Islam. They did not link the history of Islam or the calendar of Islam to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to Isra wal Mi'raj, or to the Nabuwa, the first time Jibreel came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or even the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They understood it very well. This is the key event that caused the change for the mankind. And it is a very important event, and those young men and women of that time, they played an integral role at that time. And so that's one thing about Asma. Second thing about Asma bint Abi Bakr of that time of the migration was, when Abu Bakr left, we hear all the time about Tabuk, that at the time of the Ghazwa Tabuk, Abu Bakr brought everything from his house. Many times we don't realize, actually he did the very same thing when he left from Mecca to Medina as well. There was nothing left for his family. There was nothing left for his family. And what happened was, Abu Qahafa, who was not a Muslim at that time, the father of Abu Bakr Siddiq, he came to the house of Abu Bakr and started asking, did he leave anything for you guys? And he did not. And now Asma bint Abi Bakr, what she did, because Abu Qahafa was, he was blind at that time. So she took a sack where in which Abu Bakr used to put the money in it. She put some stones. And she took that bag and let him feel. And she said, Abu Bakr left us with something. Don't worry about us. And she's not lying, by the way. The rocks were there. The sack was there. She put him in and let him feel. And now he was at comfort at least. Abu Bakr has left something for them. But Abu Bakr understood it well, and he raised the family that way, that Allah is sufficient for us. And for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was one of the other times where Abu Bakr Siddiq, he spent everything what he had. And he left nothing for his family. Because he understood well that Allah will take care of them. So, this is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, they migrated from Mecca to Medina. And we should always remember these steps, that it was well planned, it was not haphazard. There were people who were assigned certain jobs to take care of it, and it was done successfully until the end. It was not just then, okay, we plan from here to there, but don't know anything what we're going to do afterwards. So this planning was done in a way that Rasulullah SAW and Abu Bakr made it safely to Medina. And when they arrived in Medina, they were welcome. So now, why is this important to know that they were welcome? Look, people think of it this way, that as if Rasulullah SAW was... he left Mecca because he was scared of his life or something. He was just protecting himself. No. The thing was, there was a plan was done even for that. There were people who were waiting for him in Medina. This is why they used to come armed, by the way, to receive Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the borders of Medina. Every day they were coming while Rasulullah was traveling, because they were waiting for him. So it was a planned thing, and they were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, and I mentioned to you that there's a reason I'm mentioning the story of Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, that when they were sitting and they could not distinguish. Why am I bringing that story? Because look, in Islam, you don't find these things like that. That if the kind of a dress you wear, it has to be distinguishable for certain personalities. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the Sahaba, in this case Abu Bakr Siddiq, people could not distinguish who was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from other Sahabi. And there are many things like this, many stories like this you will find, where Sahaba, Rasulullah is among the Sahaba, and if somebody comes from outside, he had to ask which one was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Or even talk about later the Sahaba, like Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman. They're sitting among the people, and whoever is coming from outside who did not know of them, even when they were Khulafa, they had to figure out who was who. But today, unfortunately, we think of it, whenever we think of a personality, whether it is something something to do with religious personality, or this personality, or that personality, it has to have some unique dress code, then you can recognize them. But you don't see that in the life of Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba. Okay? So, inshallah, stop here as far as the part of the migration goes, and inshallah, in next week's talk, we'll try to cover Abu Bakr Siddiq's life from after migration until the Rasulullah passed away.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and Sira are available at IslamPodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about IslamPodcasts.com, as well as rate, review of iTunes.